So good to be here, man. It is so good to be home, y'all. 10 years ago, I received an email to my Yahoo. You know, you got the email that you put all your junk to. You know, you got two emails, one email you check and the other email that you don't check. And so I had the email that I didn't check. And I'll never forget that time where Pastor Sean, he convinced me to leave nice, sunny Orlando, Florida to come to the cold weather here in Virginia. And that year when I came, there was an earthquake here in Virginia and a hurricane. Come on, somebody. Never forget 10 years ago. And, you know, he convinced me to come here. And it was the greatest decision that I've ever made in my entire life besides marrying my wife. Come on, and give my life to Jesus. One of the greatest decisions I ever made to come here to be back home at Cornerstone. It's so good. 10 years ago. Come on. 10 years of hanging out. I am a son of this house. I can't tell you, whenever I travel, I get to pastor a great church and motivation, and people ask me, hey, where's the start? I always come back to this is good ground here at Cornerstone. Amen. And I think that sometimes, let me just give you a report of what God is doing and motivation, because I don't know if you all know this, and probably Pastor Sean haven't really communicated just as frequent as he probably should. Don't you know that Cornerstone gave Motivation Church close to $200,000? Do y'all know that? Come on. You're clapping like that's not a lot of money, y'all. Come on. So good. And we've seen God do amazing things through Motivation Church, and we know that we are a sons and daughters of this house. And how about last week? My wife came and preached the word. Come on. Wasn't that great? So good. And it's so good that, you know, I got great kids that love the Lord, love the church, serving in our church. And I really believe that my daughter, who was 1 year old when we loaded up our U-Haul, Jalen, and now next year, she's going to middle school. Come on, Jalen. And Jada's here. Hey, Jalen and Jada, would you stand up? Come on, let the people honor you. Come on, stand up. Come on. Look at them. And then lastly, I just got to honor your pastor. Don't you know that you have a good pastor? One of the issues that I see, like, especially in Christianity, is that we have a relationship with the God of the universe. And we do life with him, and we pray to him. And so sometimes we can get used to awe, and we can get used to what's great, and sometimes what great to us becomes common. And I want to let you know that you have one of the best pastors in the world. He is my pastor. Pastor Sean, can we stand? Pastor Sarah, could you stand? Let the people honor you. Come on, stand to your feet. Honor your pastors. Honor your pastors. You know how hard it is to pastor? I remember, I would always remember, why, Pastor Sean do this? When I was a youth pastor here, Pastor Sean do this. And now I know exactly why he did that. Come on, it is hard being a pastor. So, man, I'm so grateful for you, Pastor Sean and Pastor Sarah. Man, what a good house to be in. But I do have a word from the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you today, turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We're going to be looking at the words that the brother of Jesus had spoke to the Christian church that was scattered around the world. The scripture is in your notes. There are notes inside your pamphlet, but anyone who's heard me preach before knows that that is just a guide and not the thing I'm going to follow. Can I get a better amen? Come on, somebody. And just by the way, I'm not one of those preachers where you can just look at with your eyes wide open and not say something back. In fact, if you don't amen me and don't shout me down, what happens is I normally preach double the amount of time, and your food will be cold if you don't shout me down, y'all. The people are like, I'm going to shout this brother down. I'm trying to go eat. James chapter 1, I want to start in verse 19. It says this: my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, rid yourself of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word that was planted in you, which can save you. Verse 22, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, but do what it says. Somebody say, do. Yeah. Do what it says. And anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror. And after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Now, that's a word right there. He's saying, hey, if you want the blessings of God over your life, if you want the blessings of God over your church, just do what the word of God says. And sometimes I have people come to me all the time, Pastor, I want to be blessed in my finances. Pastor, I want to be blessed in my relationship. Well, just do how God says you to do it, and you will be blessed. Y'all amen me, y'all. Come on, y'all on point with that amen, y'all. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you may bypass my limited wisdom, my limited experience, my limited knowledge, God, and speak right to your people, God. Lord, move past me and speak to your people, God. We need a word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So many years ago, I was in sixth grade, and I was trying out for the high school basketball team. And before the lady who Coach Griffin was my coach at Cutler Ridge Middle School in Miami, Florida. I'll never forget, I was in sixth grade, and my friends and I went to the gym before she came out to do the tryouts. And so we're playing basketball, and we're having a really good time. We're shooting the hoops, and we're dunking the ball. We're like, we're going to make this team. This is good. We're playing really good. And so the coach comes out, and she says to everybody, okay, let's raise the rim to 10 feet, y'all. We were playing and practicing at 6 feet, but we really should be playing at 10 feet. And it was a very interesting moment in my life when I realized that sometimes you can be a really cool superstar when the goal is at 6 feet, but really it should be at 10 feet. I believe that sometimes God can speak that same word to the church of today. It's time to raise the bar of our vision. It's time to raise the bar of our calling. It's time to raise the bar to a place where we're not comfortable with, right? Because can I tell you, the calling of God over your life and over this church is a next level type of calling. I really believe it. And I just love, you know, even when I was in sixth grade, I remember I was playing football. And football was a sport that I played a lot growing up. And when I was in sixth grade, I really wasn't that good. I was a skinny kid, didn't have lotion on my knees. I was real ashy all the time. And for my people who's not brown, that means my knees were white. Come on, somebody. And I never forget, I was on the sideline. I was the best sideline trash talker because I was not good enough to get in the game. And so I would be on the sideline talking trash to the coaches, talking trash to the other teammate, talking trash to the ref, like, you guys are terrible, y'all are sorry. I would have chance, all type of chance. I'd be like, your team has that cat sound, meow, meow, but my team has that dog sound, woof, woof, you know? I would talk all type of trash, and I would scream from the sideline, and I would make all type of chance from the sideline. And that one game, and coach says, Jones, get in the game. I said, Coach, no. I like talking trash on the sideline. And I believe this, that God is calling the church to remove themselves from the sidelines of the Christian faith and to get in the game and to do what God's called you to do. Do what the word says. It's time to get in the game. No matter where you are, no matter who you are here today, I really believe that God is calling the next season of Cornerstone for everyone who's been on the sidelines. You've been on the outskirts. God says you can't talk trash from the sideline anymore, because here's the deal. You can't make an impact on the field until you get in the game. And many of us, we complain about what's happening on the field but we don't want to get in the game. And God says, no more complaining about the world around you. No more complaining about your community. No more complaining about the issues of our world. Now it's time for us to get into the world and get into the game and do what God has called us to do. Time to get in the game. I think oftentimes, like, we are afraid to get in the game. And I think sometimes we don't want to really live out the calling of God and walk in the blessings of God and live out God's word, because there's many things that really hinder us from really getting in the game. I believe one thing that hinders us from getting in the game is that oftentimes we belittle the everyday miracles that God has called us to live out.
I mean, God wants us to have all type of miracles that we walk in. And God wants us to live out the everyday miracles. Don't you know that when you wake up in the morning, that's the miracle? When you're breathing, that's the miracle. And I just want to encourage you, don't belittle the everyday miracles, but also don't belittle the calling that's over your life. Don't make small of what God has put over you. And some of us, oftentimes, we disqualify ourselves from really getting in the game because we feel like we're not good enough. Our life has too much junk in it. But can I tell you, newsflash, all of our lives have junk in it, y'all. A few months ago, my wife and I, we moved to a new house, and we were excited to move into the house. But one thing we noticed right away is that the builders of this house did not put high-quality grass in the front yard. And I had a neighbor who had been there maybe a few months earlier than me, and his grass was so green and so nice. And so I went to my neighbor, and I said, "Neighbor, I want green grass like you." He said, "Hey, call this number, have them send over 2 yards of compost." So I didn't know really what it was. I'm from Miami. I'm a city boy. I don't really like doing lawn work, whatever. So I called the number, and literally there was a whole pile of dirt in the middle of my driveway when I came home. And so literally I'm shoveling, I'm putting in the wheelbarrow. And as a result of it, I didn't realize that compost, it smells. So I called my wife. I said, "Babe, you got to help me get this dirt inside this yard so this yard can be great." And it smelled up the whole house, the whole front yard smell for a few days. And can I tell you, I am so glad that I put that compost, which is manure, which is junk, into my yard, because that junk became fertilizer to my yard. And now I got some of the greenest grass on the block, y'all. Come on, somebody. And I just want to let you know that God will use the trash of your life to be fertilizer to somebody else's life. And sometimes what you want to do is disqualify yourself from being in the game because all of the junk that you're walking through. But God will say to you today, no matter what you're walking through, no matter what you've been, no matter what's going on in your life and what struggles you have in your life, God has called you to get in the game because your junk and your trash will be fertilizer to somebody else. You should clap your hands right there at that moment. It's calling you to get in the game. I think another reason why I think oftentimes that we don't get in the game, I feel like sometimes we are paralyzed because we analyze. We live in a generation that loves to analyze the problem. Has anybody been on social media the last couple years? Hasn't it been really toxic? People talking about the problem, talking about the issues of our nation, talking about all the stuff that we got to do and all the stuff that the church got to do and all the stuff the pastor should do. And can I tell you, sometimes we analyze so much that it paralyzes our faith from getting in the game. I believe that God's called us to get active. He called us to get great. And here's what I know, that the most inspiring people that I know are not the people who know the most, but it's the people who do the most. That's right. And I want to get you to consider this. If the Church of Jesus Christ would do exactly what we're called to do, here's what would happen. Right. Here's some stats that was proven by Barna Studies. It says this: all foster kids in group homes would be in a Christian home if the church does its job. Every fatherless child will have a spiritual dad. Half of the divorces in America will be eliminated. Every church in America would be packed to its capacity and would need to double its seating size if the church be the church. Homelessness would be eliminated in half if half of Christians tithe. It says 63% of all murders would be eliminated in all of the United States. The prison population would drop by 80% if the church be his church. It says this, that literally people who are addicted to drugs, it would drop down to only 15% of what it is right now if the church be the church. And what I'm trying to say to you today, that if we will all of us get in the game and not scream from the sidelines and do what God's called us to do, can I tell you, Cornerstone, in the next 42 years, I believe this, that you will see foster kids into group homes and into Christian homes. You will see fatherless childs have spiritual dads. I believe this, that it's time for Cornerstone to get in the game. We have to grow. Man, That was crazy, because normally in my church, there's like a big confidence monitor in the back and a large TV that's blinking at me, because that was my intro, y'all. Come on, I got to hurry up. My whole call for you today is that you got to grow. In fact, if there's a title of my sermon today, it would be to be deep and wide. Deep and wide. Y'all remember that church song? You remember growing up deep and wide? Deep and wide, deep. Do y'all know that song? Come on, sing it with me. Deep and wide. Deep, and I like when they go like, and you remember that part? Love that. I love that song, Deep and Wide, right? And I believe this, that God has called the church to be deep in our intimacy with Jesus, but wide in our impact of the world. Come on. It's time for us to go deep in our walk with Jesus and wide in our impact of the world. And Pastor Sean, oftentimes as pastors, they make us choose which one to be, right? Oh, I'm going to be, we need to be a spiritual church. We need to be all deep and knowing all the deep theological terms. We need to have Sunday school that lasts 65 hours a week because we need to learn God's word. Or some of us, we want to go reach the world. Can I tell you, it's both. It's making an impact in the world around us by being wide, but going deep in our intimacy with Jesus. And I believe this, that God has called us to be deep and wide, not shallow and narrow. Shallow and narrow, shallow and narrow. Sometimes us Christian people are shallow and narrow. God says, no, it's time to grow. It's time to take the next step. If you've been here for 5 years, 2 years, 90 years, it's time for us to grow. There's not none of us in this place that God has not called us to grow and to go to the next level. It's time for us to take the next step in being who God has called us to be. There is not a season of your life that God is not calling you to grow. Every moment of your life, God's calling you to the next level. And my question to you is, have you asked yourself, God, what's next? God, how can you use me next in my church? God, how can I take more responsibility? God, how can I lead more? Hey, if you're serving here, praise God, now it's time to start leading. If you're leading, praise God, now it's time to start multiplying. I'm telling you, if you're tithing, now it's time to be part of the legacy. I just want to encourage you, it's time to take the next step, because in Christian life, we are called to grow. It's time for us to go deep, and it's time for us to get wide. You know, it's very interesting when it comes to deep and wide and the people that we're called to be. Because, you know, like, it's growth is this word, this theological word that oftentimes we use. It's called sanctification. And sanctification is the process of becoming more like Jesus. Meaning that if you want to be who God's called you to be, you got to be sanctified. Meaning, like, you know, we got free from Egypt, salvation, but now it's time to get the Egypt out of us. Like, that's growth. And God's saying to you today, like, it's time to grow deeper in your knowledge of Jesus. It's time to grow deeper in your intimacy with Jesus. You can't stay in the same level, because if you stay at the same level, you can't inherit the new blessings that God has over your life. I just want to let you know, every blessing is preceded by burden, right? So my daughter, Jalen, she's so awesome. She's going to sixth grade next year, and her responsibilities is growing inside the house. You know, like, you know, when she was two, she couldn't do much, but now she's going to sixth grade. She's going to unload that dishwasher. Can I get a bit of air at somebody? And oftentimes, sometimes she would say to me, this ain't my house. What? This ain't your house. Don't you sleep here? Don't you eat here? No, this is your house. Pastor, I think people come to me all the time. This ain't my church. You're the pastor of the church. What? You receive God's word from this place? You come here all the time, and you act like you can't unload the dishwasher at this? You better start serving in this place. Come on, somebody. I just want to let you know, no, this is your house. And if you want the blessing of this house, you're going to have to carry the burden of this house, y'all. Come on, somebody. And I just want to let you know that sometimes, well, a lot of times, we love the blessings of a house, but we never want to carry the burden of the house. But can I tell you, there is a burden that God has put on Cornerstone, because God has set you, or is setting you up for a blessing of God that will come your way that you never saw coming your way. I really believe it. I believe it. I believe that God's calling us to carry the burdens of the house. It's time for us to go deep. And it's time for us to get wide. And sanctification is simply becoming more like Jesus. If you got stuff in your life right now, it's time to repent of it. If you got gossip in your life, stop gossiping. If you're sleeping around, stop sleeping around. I mean, it's just, if you want the blessings of God, run the play. You know what I'm saying? Like, are y'all with me here today? Like, oftentimes, like, we talk about, it was so funny, I had this young lady come to me. It's like, Pastor, I want to find me a man. I can't find me a man. There are no good men left. And Pastor, I said, how you want God to bless you with a husband and you sleeping around while you're single? I just kept it 100 with them, right? I just want to let you know that the blessings of God, like, literally comes to your way when you run the play, when you do what the word of God says. Says this: but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Some people are like, Pastor, I want God to touch my finances. Well, just do finances God's way. Tithe. Give towards the offering. The anniversary offering is a big deal. I'm telling you, when you sow into this house, God will reap it back 10 times into your house. It's time to live out God's way. It's time for us to grow. But not only is sanctification is about growth, but also, can I tell you, it's time. Not only is it time to grow, but I also believe that it's time to go. Somebody say go. It's time to do what God's word. It's not time just to grow, but it's time to go. It is time to go, to get out this place and go to the world to go make a difference. And can I tell you, that's the reason why this church exists. We not only exist for the family of God, and we love the family of God and the teaching of God's word and the worship of God and the holy God that we serve. That is so amazing. But can I tell you right now, it is time for us to stop just thinking about the family and thinking about the people who's not in our family. So a few weeks ago, what I did in my church is that I canceled church. I said, we're not having church this Sunday. Because my church became so close-knit. Especially, we survived the pandemic and we went through all this stuff and we became so inward looking and driven and focused. So I said, let's not have church this Sunday. So what we did was we ordered a whole bunch of buses. And on a Sunday morning, I said, we're going to have one time, one service. We sung one song and then literally hundreds of people, we loaded buses and I sent them around the city. I was sending it to different outreach places throughout the city, some in the south side, some in the north side, some right here. And we started serving the city. And it was so crazy. People came back and said, Pastor, you won't believe what I saw. We went to the Richmond City Jail, and we saw so many men and women who had no hope. And they were getting out of jail, and there was no transition for them. Pastor, you won't believe what we saw. That on the south side of the city, there are homelessness that is great. Pastor, you won't believe what we saw along Jeff Davis. There were people who God had a plan for, but they were addicted to drugs and they were living in motel. And there were young ladies who God has a plan over their life, and they were prostituting themselves. Pastor, you won't believe what we saw. That we saw so many kids in our city, in this very city, that goes without meals because the city of Richmond is not in school. They said, Pastor, you won't believe what we saw. And I said, that's why we are building our church. That's why you serve in Kiss Ministry. That's why you pour coffee in the cafe. That's why you sing on the stage. That's why you host people in the parking lot. This is why we're building our church. And can I tell you, Cornerstone, in the next season, this is why you're building your church. You're not just building a church for a family, but you're building a church for a lost city that don't know Jesus, that is far from the calling of God. And you have the potential and you have the calling and the mantle over your life to do exactly that. It's time to get in the game. It's time to get in the game. It's time to grow. It's time to go. It's time to go deep. It's time to go wide. It's time to do exactly what God has called us to do. I want to encourage you, church, that oftentimes what we see in our world today is that we are a people. We are people that get so me-centered, and we don't look at the scriptures of God anymore. In fact, I'm done. My 25-minute timer is going off. Brian, you can come back up here and start playing some pads and make me sound really spiritual, please. That's why we do it, God. I'm telling you. It helps. It helps. It's like WD-40 on the old door. Come on, just play. If I'm not preaching good, play some music. Come on, somebody. Red, you know what I'm saying? Red Smith, you know what I'm saying? Just play a little music. Come on. And you know, I was thinking about my life and just who we are, and I was thinking about just the next season of this church. And it's and notice what James says is, but whoever looks intently to the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And literally, that word blessed is blessed and continual blessings, meaning that there are blessings that you are living off of yesterday that God says, if you will just change your ways and grow a little bit, you can experience new blessings in your life. And I kind of reminded of, like, you know that one scripture, the narrative in the Gospels where Jesus talking to the religious people, and he says, hey, you're wanting a new kingdom and you want new blessings, but I can't pour the new wine into old wineskins. You can't have the new blessings in the next season until you change your mindset. Until you, it's going to look different. And maybe some of you have been around for a long time. Oh, Pastor Sean, I wanted to be like the good old days. The old days we were running on the altar and people, and I love that. And that's so great. And I pray that God can start. I'm really believing that the Church of America, we are on the precipice on a new revival, right? We're going to see people come to meet Jesus at a rapid way. I really believe it. We're setting up our teams for it. Our church is getting ready for it. We're doubling the size of our dream team because we're getting ready for the harvest. But can I tell you today that like God's going to move, and it's going the good old days won't be the good old days. It will be the nowadays. But you cannot experience that with the same. It's going to look different. It's going to sound different. It was so funny. Like, people come to me all the time. Pastor, why don't we sing this song? Pastor, I got some, you know, I got some. My church is 65% African American, and we got some, like, you know, we got black folks, but they got black folks. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I got some ladies that still wear, like, two-tier hats every Sunday. Come on, somebody. Two-tier. Like, I'm like, what's happening up there? Like, what do you put up there? Pastor, I wanna wave my flag. Pastor, I want the tambourine. It's gonna look different. It's gonna sound different. But can I tell you that the blessings of God that is coming your way, it may look different, it may sound different, but what I'm telling you, when you experience it, it will be so great. And I just want to encourage you as a church, don't expect the new blessings of God without changing your wineskin. Can I tell you people, the next season of Cornerstone will be the greatest season, and I really believe this prophetically, that literally you have gone back, and you have, literally what the Lord said to me to share with you, that there was a season where the Lord had to pull you back so that he can launch you forward. And I really believe that God is literally, he's about to launch this ministry forward, and those who are connected to this house will be launched forward with it. And so I just want to encourage that prophetic word over your life, that God is about to do something in this place like you've never seen before. You're about to walk in the blessings of God like you've never seen before. I speak a financial harvest over this church. You have sown. You have sown Motivation Church. You sown New Community. And God says you have poured out everything for everybody else, but now Cornerstone, it's your turn. The blessings of God is on your life right now. It's your turn, Cornerstone. But it won't happen unless you grow. That's right. If you're here today, in fact, I just want to real quick, I know Pastor John has some other next steps for you, but if you're here today, I'm telling you, right, if you're not serving, it's time to serve. Right. If you're not tithing, it's time to start tithing. And if you're already tithing, it's time to join a legacy team. Our church, we have something called a legacy team, man. It's just anybody, no matter what it is, it's $1 over your tithe. Be a part of legacy. And if you already serve, Pastor, I serve in the kids' ministry. Pastor, I serve in the parking lot. That's great. Now it's time for you to start leading. Pastor, I'm already leading. I'm already doing my. Now it's time to start multiplying. It's time for all of us to take the next step. And when you do, you will have the blessings of God over your life. Come on, Cornerstone. Let's give God a hand clap of praise.
Wow, that was such a great word. And you know what? We don't want to just be hearers of the word. We want to be doers of the word. And here at Cornerstone, we believe in next steps. And there's that we're just not going to hear a word, but there is a step that God wants us to take today. And so, Pastor Sean, can you explain our next steps today?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the word. Let's do it. Let's take the step today. And you look in your handout. There's a summer small groups. There's a way to take a step. And Pastor Travis didn't notice, but we redid our membership to a one-night thing. Look what I called it. Go deeper. You want to go deep and wide? Here it is. So what I'm going to ask everybody to do is, you know, God, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want. Well, be willing to open up your phone right now, put out the photo, take a picture of this QR code, and do something. Like, take a step today. And you'll notice on that QR code, on that connection card, so you can start doing that right now. You don't got to just look at me. Put out the phone, everybody. Come on.
Let's take it together.
Come on, everybody. All right, we'll just hang out until you start. Come on, fam. This is a message about doing something, not hearing something. Everybody got their phone? There you go. All right. You'll notice there's steps that Travis talked about there. I want to connect. I want to start serving. I want to start giving. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart. But here's the joy. Here's the joy of that. I'm going to ask right now all our elders if they would stand on up. All of our elders, would you stand up and come to the front? And elders, I could have one and two here, but then we got the speakers, so if you could come out the side. I'm going to ask all our elders right now. So thankful for each of these men and women. Thank you, elders. One over there, one or two over here. Thank you, Diane. Roy, just be careful of the speaker right here. We got Matt out there. We had the most amazing prayer time Friday night as we were praying for this day, as we were praying for what God's doing in us. And God spoke a word. It says, Sean, on anniversary Sunday, you're asking people to give, but I want to give them something. So I'm going to ask right now, I'm going to ask all of you to stand. And God wants to give you something by the Spirit that you've never had before. And if you need a word from the Lord, if you need a healing in your body, if you need a new work of God in your life in any way, say, Lord, we're going to do what the Scripture says in the book of James. If anybody's sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. We're going to invite to do what the Scripture says, to pray for one another. And as we take this moment of worship, Pastor Brian's going to lead us. If you're seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit today, come on up and let someone agree with you in prayer and the Spirit. If you're just asking the Lord, God, I need to hear from you. I don't know you. I believe in you. I don't know you. And you want to meet with him today? The Bible says there is power in prayer. And so I'm asking you, take a step and see what God does this morning. God put it on my heart too. Someone's kind of like, man, I'm just not so sure about all this stuff. How about you take a step of faith today and see if God shows up? How do you say, all right, Lord? All right, I'll go up there. God, let's see. Let's see what you want to say to me today. Spouses, you feel free to join your spouse up here if you're an elder and you want to join them in prayer. So I'm going to ask everybody right now, let's just turn our hearts fully to the Lord. God, we've heard a word. It's inspired us. It's made us laugh. It's given us joy. It's challenged us. But Lord, we can't look in the mirror and then walk away. We got to take a step today, right now in this tent of meeting. You can start coming up if you want. You don't got to wait. Lord Jesus, as we worship you, we want to meet with you right now. We're praying for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon this place. And Lord, we're asking that you fill us with something new that you've never filled us. Church family, as we do this now, and you see people coming up, I'm going to ask you to worship the Lord with all your heart. Fill out that QR code. And if you want to wait for someone to come up, you wait for someone to come so you can come up next. And then when we finish knowing that we have stepped how God wants us to step, then we're going to do some celebrating. We're going to be grateful for each other. We're going to spend some time saying thanks for who you are. We'll tell you about that in a minute. Lord Jesus, we right now, come on, everybody, would you join with me? Holy Spirit, we want you to come in this place. We want to meet with you. We want miracles to happen right in front of us and right in us right now. Lord, we want to be filled to overflowing like never before. Come on, everybody, reach out with me right now. Lord, we want to go deeper and wider for you. So, Lord, as we sing this worship song and as we make this a tent of true meeting, we're praying right now, not by power, not by might, but by your Spirit, change our lives and make us what you want us to be.